Praise the Lord. Everybody's fellowshipping so good. We can come in and find a place to sit down here. We'll go ahead and get started this morning. I want to welcome you to the very first service in 2023, right? How many of you are thankful because you know it's because of God that you made it to 2023? Amen. It's only Him. He's the only one that could have got me here. That's how I feel about it. But as we open up this morning, I do want to make you aware of a few things going on, give you a few announcements. First and foremost, we have started today's our first day of our 21 days of consecration. And we were here this morning at 5:30. We're going to be here every morning for those 21 days from 5:30 to 7:30. But the prayer team got together, and I appreciate this, and they said, you know, some people just can't make it in the mornings. So they're going to make sure someone's out at 5:30 in the evening till 7:30 in the evening every day as well. Now, that does get changed a little bit on Wednesdays, because Wednesdays we start our family night here at 7, so they're just going to be here till 7 o'clock, and then we'll go right into our Bible study here, and on Wednesday nights, just so you know, I know that we're all together on Sunday mornings right now, but on Wednesday nights, we are going to break up into our different classes, and we're going to be talking about some of the same things, but I feel like that's a good time to still do the teaching in those classes. That's what God wants us to do. And then the other change for the evenings is on Tuesday nights, in case we need to have a worship team practice, that's when we typically do our worship team practice. Instead of meeting in here for prayer, they're going to be meeting in the youth sanctuary. I like that anyway, because then we're praying in both places. So, I know that God hears our prayers, God answers our prayers wherever we're at. But there's something about when you set an atmosphere in a building and you can feel it, like at least I can. I've walked into places and I thought, wow, this place is saturated in prayer. These people pray, you know. And so I'm glad that we're praying in both places. So I want to make you aware of that. If you haven't downloaded the app, you can ask our tech guy back there, Jim. He can help you out with that. And I know it's a little tricky. He'll help you get the app downloaded. And so you can follow along. On that app, there is, every day there's going to be a blog post that's our daily devotional that we're walking through together. But then there's also an event that you can go and follow, and that'll have the prayer times on there as well on the event. And then there's also a group. And the reason I made the group is I want to encourage you to get on there and create discussion. Talk about what you hear God speaking to you. Through these devotionals, through this time of prayer, this time of fasting, this time of your Bible studying. So get on there and have conversations with the whole church. That's what's so great about that. So those things are on there. You just go to the group tab at the top there on the app, and you can find the group page there for 21 days. You go to the event tab, and you can find the event. And let's follow along. Let's do this together. Also, I just want to let you know this. If you're completely confused by the phone app, you can always just go to our website. Everything is right on the website as well, and that makes it easier. Those of you that still like using a web browser and maybe not even a phone, you like your laptop, you can go there. Looks like my tech guy, give him a hand. He's on top of it. He's showing you everything on our website there. So we're trying to do as much as we can for you so that we can walk through this together. I'm big about doing it together. I'm not a one man on my own island trying to create a name for myself. No, there's one name that's been given to us under heaven whereby men must be saved. That's the name of Jesus, right? So that's all what we're about here, and we want to come together and work together as a team and do that. And so I want to make sure you knew that. There's other announcements, but that's what my wife's good at. She's not with me this morning. So I think we have a business meeting coming up this month. So make sure you're looking at the schedule. We'll get stuff out for you on that. And I think that there is an encounter conference in Indianapolis for people who want to attend that as well. I'm trying to think of anything else that may be coming up. Right now, the focal point of our church, though, is this time that we've set aside for God. Really focus on what he wants to do in us and through us and what he wants to speak to us. Amen. And so that is the focus. So with that said, if I can get Brother Todd to help me out here and Brother Caleb, we do have a few printed devotionals for those of you that are saying, I am not going to get on a computer. I'm not going to get on a phone. I'm not going to do any of that. And if we need more, we can make some copies this morning. So just go back to the desk back there, the welcome desk. So if you just need one, a printed copy, just slip your hand up and we'll pass them out to you. You got to be careful there, Caleb. We have a hand up front here, maybe was missed, if we have any left. Maybe three more. Do we have three more? All right. You can make two copies, or actually just one and give that copy. Looks like that's what we need. We'll pass them out. Sister Sally needs one, and then Sister Maggie needs one. You can do that. Okay. Well, praise the Lord. How many excited to be here this morning? I'm excited for what God is beginning to do in us. I felt his presence so great here. Even last night, we had a great service last night and then a great time of fellowship. Even though them rascals lost that football game, still had a good time of fellowship. I'm thankful that no matter what all that happens, we still have joy and peace and love because of Jesus. Amen. So this morning is going to be very different. And the reason it needs to be different is because sometimes God wants to do a reset. And it's not so much that he's changing anything, but he's got to get our attention. How many of you realize that we are creatures of habit? You want to say that expression. We get so used to things being the same that we begin to take things for granted. We forget the reason why. We forget why. Sometimes we just go to church and we're sitting there and look, don't be holier than thou on me this morning. But y'all know, you've sat there before and it's popped in your head. What am I doing here? Why am I here? That's human nature. And I will tell you, those are good questions to ask. Those are good questions to ask. Why am I here? Why are we doing this? Why do we do this thing called church? Just simply because we feel like God said, oh, you're supposed to come to church? Well, you know, we have that verse in Hebrews, assemble yourselves together even all the more as you see the day approaching. Why? Why do we assemble together? Why is this? So that we can encourage one another in building up our faith in Jesus Christ. And so God really started speaking to me probably 2 or 3 months ago, maybe even longer, about changing some things up at the beginning of this year, so that we can really focus and hone in on why we come together. What are we doing? And if you study the scriptures out, which I hope you do, you'll find that when it comes to a format of how the church is supposed to operate when they gather together, you're not going to find much of a format there. You hear about things they did. You'll see things that took place when they came together. But as far as a structure of how you're supposed to have a worship service, a gathering, a meeting, whatever you want to call it, of the church, there is no format. And the reason is we're not supposed to have this formula that we follow, and that's what works for us, because then what we would do is we would just plug the formula in every time, and there would be no relationship. Now, you need to get a hold of this morning, because this is the key. This is the thing that it hinges all upon. This word is relationship. God wants a relationship with us. He doesn't want us to plug in a formula and spit out the answer and everything be good to go and move on with life. And we did our little time. We did a little church time. Let's move on. Let's go do what we want. No. He wants a relationship with us, that wherever we are, whatever we're doing, whatever we're a part of, he gets to be a part of it too. And whatever God's doing, we get to be a part of that. He wants a relationship with us. And so we come together to encourage one another, to build each other up in our faith, to keep pointing to the word of God and what God's already spoken to us, so that we can keep on walking with God, keep on serving God, keep on building our relationship with him and growing in that. Because here's the honest truth. There's all kinds of distractions in our world. There's all kinds of things that are always taking place. And you know, as well as I do, that when you get out just doing life in general, and you're not around people that are encouraging you in your faith, all of a sudden you realize you've slipped back, and you've slipped back, and you've slipped back, and you've slipped back, and you're going, man, I feel like I don't even know God anymore. It's because we've allowed the cares of this world to overburden us. If you remember the sower, the parable of the sower, it was the cares of the world that choked out the plant and killed it. And so I feel in my heart that God is wanting us to do a reset and say, okay, it's all about our relationship with you, God. It's not about how great of a worship team we can have. It's not about this awesome message that we can come hear. And I just got to be as real as I can with you. Is one of the most disheartening things for me over the past several years as a pastor, as a minister, is seeing people get excited about something that you know God's put on your heart, that you preach. They're excited about it in the service. They're excited about it while we're here. They'll even respond to the Spirit of God, come to the altar, God will move. And then when they walk out those doors, it's like, oh, it's over. I went to my church event and it's done. That grieves my heart, because I want life-changing experiences where we can't help but be totally different than the way we came in here when we leave. Because then we will see our society begin to change. Then we'll begin to see people really get helped that need helped. Not just a Band-Aid fix, but people will be transformed and changed. And so there's times throughout history that God has called his people to come together for what I'm calling a reset. He's called them and he said, no, time to refocus. You've gone off. And listen, I'm going to say some things this morning, and if it hits you and convicts you and steps on your toes, don't get mad at me. Say, thank you, Jesus, that you care enough about me to correct the path that I was going on that was wrong, that was in error. Because I don't think I'm looking at a whole bunch of people that are so ungodly, so unruly, living like heathens this morning. I don't think that, but I don't know your personal life. Holy Spirit does, but I don't. And so there's times where we need God to say, hey, it's time we get back on track. You're allowing all the things around you to influence you more than you're being influenced by the Holy Spirit. And in those moments, what God would do with his people is he would call an assembly, a meeting to come together. And he would say, we're going to consecrate ourselves. He would use the people that he had ordained to be their leaders. And they would say, we are setting aside some time to consecrate ourselves and focus on the fact that God is a holy God. God is a righteous God. And if we're going to serve him, we must be holy and righteous also. So this is what the Bible says. Well, let me first just give you this definition. I'm getting ahead of myself. Let me just say this. So I'm going to reiterate this. These 21 days or the first 3 weeks are the first fruits of our year. And we're consecrating those first fruits to the Lord. Now, I know that might be foreign thought for you because many of you have heard about first fruits, and we always talk about money when we talk about first fruits, don't we? Isn't that interesting? Because when they actually harvested the first fruits, it wasn't dollar bills they were bringing in. It was the harvest that they were pulling out of the fields. So really, first fruits is what God has given us. God has given us a brand new year. Stop for a moment and ask yourself, how are you planning on spending it? How are you going to spend this year? We spend money all the time. We spend time all the time. And the truth is, a lot of times we're wasteful with both. We just spend it. Can we be intentional this year with our time, with our year that God's given us, and spend it wisely? God granted us breath in our body for another year. How will we spend that year? We start off by giving it to him, our first fruits. We give it to him. It's yours, God. We're dedicating these first 3 weeks. We're spending it to you, God. Because of your goodness, we are so grateful for what you have given us. We are now giving it back to you, God. The first 3 weeks we give to him. And so consecration means this. It's the action of making or declaring something sacred or holy. What we're saying is these first 3 weeks are sacred because they don't belong to us anymore. You hear me? That's for you too, young people, teenagers, children. This church is declaring that the first 3 weeks of this year, starting today, is sacred because they no longer belong to us. We don't own them. Truth be told, we don't own anything anyway. God has lent them to us. But today, we are declaring that the first 3 weeks, for sure, we are not going to be selfish with. We're not going to have our agenda. We're not going to do what we want to do. They belong to God. How many of you are willing to do that? Raise both hands right now. Say, yes, God. These are your weeks, God. Whatever you call us to do, God. Whatever we feel in our heart, God, they're yours. They belong to you. We thank you, God, for giving us another year. But God, we are giving back the first 3 weeks for sure to you because they belong to you, Father. We give them to you right now. We thank you, God, that you're so gracious and kind and merciful to us to allow us to step into a brand new year. And God, we have counted these days as sacred and holy and are setting ourselves apart unto you. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. So let me give you a few biblical examples of what we're doing so you understand and know. I always like to go back to the word. I don't want you to think I'm just pulling stuff out of thin air and this is what we're doing. And I'm not fruity or flaky when it comes to spirituality things. I'm just not that way. I have to have a biblical basis for everything that I feel I hear the Spirit saying. And so you'll find in the book of Joel chapter 1 that he even says, consecrate a fast, call a solemn assembly, gather the elders, and all the inhabitants of the land to the house of the Lord your God and cry out to the Lord. Why? Because they were living in a time, in a situation where things were not good. People were not serving God like they were supposed to be serving God. People were not doing the things that God declared them to do. They were living in sin. Does it sound familiar? The public agenda did not match God's agenda. So God told them to consecrate some time and call for a solemn assembly. And not just the elders, not just the leaders, but all the inhabitants of the land. So that's what we're doing. Then in Nehemiah, you'll find out that when they were given back the land and began to build the temple and build the walls and all the things, they set some time aside to consecrate themselves. And they said, now, on the 24th day of this month, the people of Israel were assembled with fastings and in sackcloth and with earth on their heads. And the Israelites separated themselves from all foreigners and stood and confessed their sins and the iniquities of their fathers. And they stood up in their place and read from the book of the law of the Lord, their God, for a quarter of the day. From another quarter of it, they made confession and worshiped the Lord, their God. They called for another solemn assembly. They professed the sins of their fathers, of their nation. They asked God to forgive them and they begin to consecrate themselves. Now notice this, if you read in scripture, you'll realize that this was the following of their holy days that they had set apart for feasting and celebration. And they implemented them again because the temple had been rebuilt. The walls were up, everything was finished. And so they held Passover and it was after Passover, after the feasting, after the celebrating, that God told them, now sanctify some time to consecrate yourself. How interesting is that? That we are just now walking out of our holy days or holidays where we feasted, we've celebrated the birth of a Savior, we've celebrated a new year, and God is speaking to us and saying, okay, now consecrate yourselves unto me, set yourselves apart from everyone else, and come and cry out to me. This is what God's calling us to do. Now, I know that many of you have seen this scripture I'm going to read next. You've heard it quoted and quoted and quoted, but I'm going to ask you this morning to open up your ears, open up your hearts, and let the Holy Spirit reveal it to you in a different way. Don't just go like, yeah, I heard that one before. No, no, no. Receive this morning. If my people who are called by my name, who bear the name of Jesus, that's who he's talking to, will humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then I will hear from heaven and will forgive their sin and heal their land. I just got to say this. Holy Spirit just dropped this in my heart. I got to say it. Like I said, we might step on some toes this morning. That's not my intention. My intention is to stir you up. But we want to blame politics. We want to blame policy. We want to blame the changing society for all the sin and degradation that we see running rampant. But this says that those who carry the name of God, if they would humble themselves and turn from their wicked ways and pray and seek the face of God, then he would hear us from heaven and he would heal our land. Now, we've said this over and over and over again. I've heard this preached so much since 2020. I mean, it's just, we've become immune to it. Do we know what this is saying? This is a call to action. This isn't just some cool verse that we post on a wall somewhere and say, oh, isn't that nice? God's going to hear us. No, if, my people, if it's a call to action, will we pray? Will we humble ourselves and repent and turn from our wickedness? Will we do this? If we will do that, then he will hear from heaven. And then he will heal our land. You want the United States of America to be healed? Then turn from your wicked ways. Pray and seek the face of God. That's what we're supposed to do. Well, you might be sitting there and going, well, I don't live a wicked life. Ask God that. We can profess anything we want to profess, especially in the day and age we live in. We can make whatever sin to be sin, and we can make whatever we want not to be sin to not be sin. But God has mandated his people to live holy and righteous and justly, and it is by his rule and his law, not ours. And so it's time that we turn from our wickedness, our slothfulness, our laziness, and begin to pray and seek the face of God. Now listen, I know kids are being noisy. That's okay. Let them be kids. They're hearing more than you think they are, and they need to be in this atmosphere. Because God said, call all the inhabitants, all of them. Don't exclude the kids, all of them. Amen? Let's stay focused here. Then he says this in 1 Peter 1, verse 15 through 17, says this, but as he who called you is holy, you also be holy in all your conduct. You also be holy in all your conduct, not in your church conduct, not when you're with your church friends, when you get with your secular friends, and when you're at work, you know, you can be different because then you're with them. No, in all your conduct, God has called us to be holy. Since it is written, you shall be holy, for I am holy. And if you call on him as Father who judges impartially according to each one's deeds, conduct yourself with fear throughout the time of your exile. Isn't it interesting that the scriptures in the Old Testament that I read to you were dealing with the time of exile, and then the one in the New Testament that he tells us that we must be holy and serve God is quoting scripture verses from that time. Why were they exiled? Because they had turned their back on God. So my question to you is this. Why don't we see what the first church saw? The miracles, the salvations, the signs, the wonders. Why don't we see the things that we read about in the Bible right now? Oh, God's just doing it differently. No, he's the same yesterday, today, and forever. Why don't we see these things? The only answer is this, that we have turned ourselves to wickedness and have appealed our flesh and have tried to do those types of things more than sacrificing ourselves and being hungry after the things of God. Because if God is the same, then the only ones that can change are his people. Amen, Pastor Joe. God can't change. So if God can't change, and God has always wanted to heal people and set people free and deliver them and see his wonders be moved in the earth, then the only people who are not seeing that is his people, because they have not consecrated themselves to be holy to see it. We've turned our back on God and we've accepted a counterfeit because it was more comfortable for our flesh. Well, you know, they were healed. Well, you know, we make all kinds of excuses, don't we? Well, it's just how life is. No, God is still God. He's still on the throne. We've even taken it so far that now people don't get saved anymore. They just join groups. Sign a paper. Now they're part of a group that calls themselves a church. I don't want to be that. There's a stirring in my heart. It says, God, forgive me. Forgive me for putting up with that in my life. Forgive me for my complacency. Forgive me, God, for not wanting more of you and allowing the TV or social media or whatever pull on me more and on my heart and have a desire for that more than me spending time with you. Forgive me, God, for that. And help me to get where I need to be, where my back is not turned on you, so that I can see your glory manifested in the earth, not for me. Look, I've experienced his glory. His glory is not hidden to me. I know how great he is, but there are people who don't. We get irritated about atheism and people not believing there's a God, but could that be an indictment on the church? That because God was not displayed through us, now they believe there is no God. God, forgive us. Make us holy, God. Change our hearts to be in love with you again. I'm telling you, church, my heart is stirred because the possibilities of this new year are endless. They are in the hands of God, and then he took them and he's handed it to us. And he said, here you go. I'm giving you another year. Now, what will you do with it? See, we always want to say, well, it's in the hands of God. No, God placed it in our hands. What will we do with what he's given us? Will we be wise stewards of what he has given us? Or will we waste it away with nothingness because we found it entertaining for a moment of time? Forgive us, God. Let us come back to our first love. So we've set this aside a time to focus our lives upon God, to do what he wants. And this week, the focus is prayer. We're going to focus on prayer because that's where it all starts. It begins with prayer. And Jesus showed up one time to the building where all the people of God gathered. And he found them exchanging money and selling goods and all this stuff going on like it was some marketplace, like a place to network. I'm going to say it again because Sister Betty got it, but I don't think anybody else did. Like, it's just a place to network. Just a place to make connections so that you can get what you need to get, do what you need to do. When Jesus stepped into that presence, because the house had not been saturated in prayer, but instead had been saturated in networking, making money, doing what they can do, he was upset and he turned the tables over. Sometimes I would like to take that scripture and use it as an excuse to go berserk and start throwing stuff around, but that's not what he was doing there. He was demonstrating his authority as God and saying, no, this is not what this place is for. But he said this, I'm going to read it to you as the scripture says. He said to them, it is written, my house shall be called a house of prayer, but you make it a den of robbers. My house shall be called a house of prayer. It's an interesting statement to me because the way that we have organized our meetings, way that we conduct them and schedule them, the things that we do, we pray at the beginning and we pray at the end. But he said his house would be called a house of prayer, yet prayer is one of the least amount of things we do. And when we ask people to come for a prayer meeting, out of 100 people, 3 people show up. And then pastors get mad and they want to blame it on the people. But I've asked myself, how is that fair when we've conditioned you that when you come to church, you don't hardly pray? See, I try to ask myself hard questions because I try to push myself because I don't want to just be complacent and just be the average thing. Man, I am hungry for God. I want to see God move. And so I'm not going to blame other people. I'm looking at Joe. What's Joe doing as the pastor and the leader of this church? How can I expect you to come to a prayer meeting when we've not even taught on prayer? We don't display prayer. We pray when we open up service. We invite you to an altar at the end of service and we pray dismissal prayer. You see, people think that his house is called a house of worship. And they think worship is music that a band plays and singers sing to you. Not sing together. They sing it for you. And while you're entertained and you hear some lyrics that you like because they sound good to you, you enjoy that, you feel good, then you hear a message preached to you that makes you feel better about yourself, that there's a God that loves you, a God that cares for you, and all these things are true, and all these things should be done in the house of God. But Jesus said, my house is called the house of prayer. And as I've traveled the churches around America, all of them I've been in, most of them are houses of worship and houses of preaching. And I'll tell you right now, one thing that we're guilty of here, we like good preaching. And I appreciate that because I like good preaching too. And we need good preaching. And we've always had good preaching here. And all the people that come before me, man, I tell people all the time, man, what I appreciate the most about my heritage is all my life I've heard good preaching. And I know when I hear bad preaching because I've grown up on good preaching. But this house has become a house of preaching. That's great. But God said it's supposed to be a house of prayer. While preaching is great, preaching is awesome, preaching will stir us, how much more powerful would it be? Come on, church, how much more powerful would our preaching be if this was first a house of prayer? So this week we're focusing on prayer. We're going to talk about prayer today. I don't know how long this service is going to go. I don't care about any of that. All I care about is what God wants to do in this place today. And I found out, I've said this, I think it was a previous service, I've said this a couple times maybe, but talking to people, they get weirded out about prayer because they feel like they don't know how to do it. We're used to having a conversation with someone we can see. So this I get, but truthfully, listen to me, elders, we live in a generation now that people can't even do this anymore. They'll sit in the same room and they use this to have a conversation. Now, I'm not saying that's good, bad. I don't care. I'm just trying to help you realize the climate that we're living in. And so you're now asking people to talk to God. Well, what's his number? Let me put it in my phone. Give me his number so I can text him. That sounds ridiculous, right? But that's what people are comfortable with. So when we talk about prayer, people are like, I don't know what that means. How am I supposed to do that? You know, I hear pastor get up and pray, and he sounds like he's got all the words there and this and that and the other. Because, you know, that's just public prayer. And sometimes I ask myself, what is that even doing? You ever ask that question? I've been to some prayer events before. Let's stand around the flag and pray for our nation. And as I've sat there and listened to the prayer, I thought to myself, what was that? That was nothing but a performance for everyone who was standing there to hear. So that everyone thought, wow, they're very knowledgeable. They're intelligent. They know the word of God. Maybe one of the best prayers we could do for this nation is all gather around the flagpole and say, help! We need help! Yeah. People wouldn't think you're too smart then, huh? But I wonder how much God would respond to that. So we got to figure out this thing called prayer. So I'm just going to ask you this morning, all of your preconceived ideas, everything that you think you know about prayer, let's just leave it behind. Let's just forget about it. One joke we used to have as kids, this is, I don't mean this to be offensive. Please, no one take this the wrong way. It's just a joke, me being a kid, okay? We always found it interesting that these people talk with Southern accents when they talk to you, when they preach to you, when they did everything, they talk with Southern accents, and they just spoke plain English when they begin to pray, thou, O God, art. And they begin to pray in King James English. Y'all know what I'm talking about. Why did they do that? Because they were doing what they saw done. They read King James Version Bible. That's a good translation. There's a lot of good stuff in that. And so they got used to that language. But when they went to talk to God then, because that's what they read, they thought that's how they had to talk to God. I don't think anybody did it on purpose. It's just what happened. And there's no problem with that. If that's what you like to do, talk to God that way. But I'm just trying to get your point across to you that prayer is just simply talking to God. And when I talk to God, I want to be real. I want to be honest. And I'm going to be Joe. I'm telling you, one of my favorite guys in the Bible is not even named. He's just a dad. And he showed up with his son that needed Jesus to do something in his life. And his disciples showed up first. And they're like, ah, we got this. We've been casting out devils. We've been doing all kinds of things. We got this one. And his son stayed in the very state that he was in. Jesus shows up and says, what is going on here? Bunch of foolishness. What are you doing here? You haven't been able to take care of this. I've empowered you to do this and you haven't been able to do it. I'm just telling you straight up how I see this picture. And the dad gives one of the best prayers that I've ever heard pray. He says this. He said, well, listen, they couldn't do it, but now you're here. I'm going to tell you, I've heard about you. I've heard about how great you are, how powerful you are. And that's why I brought my son here, because he needs help. So I believe, but
At the same time, I just saw your disciples demonstrate that, and I don't know if I believe. So I believe, but help my unbelief. That's what he said. That was honest. I was honest before God. Why wouldn't we pray and talk to God like that? Because he already knows what's in our heart anyway. So prayer is not a performance, and it's not begging God. It's not. Prayer is not begging God. Don't treat God like that. That's how spoiled children treat their parents. Please, 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 please. Oh, come on. Can I spend the night with my friend? Please, 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 please let me spend the night with my friend. Please. Picking on you because you said the closest. Right? We've all been there. We've all done that. God wants us to mature. Don't talk to God like that. Don't beg him. Don't beg him. Now, if that's all you got, start there. So I just want you to talk to God. Be honest, right? But that's not what prayer is intended for. So let's talk real quickly about prayer, and then we're gonna activate it. We're going to do it. And I'm just telling you, some of y'all are going to be a little uncomfortable, but you need to be. I think some of you have already been a little uncomfortable. I'm not doing it on purpose. I'm doing it to push you so that we can get where God wants us to be. What is prayer? Prayer is a discipline. That's what prayer is. Prayer is a discipline. Now, we don't understand that word in this generation. We see discipline as completely negative. It's terrible. It's horrible. And we've taught people to stay away from it. Because if you discipline people, well, then, you know, if you discipline your child, you may stifle their creativity. Listen to me. You produced that child, and you know how rebellious you are. Y'all gonna be honest with me this morning? I know how rebellious I am. I'm not for once gonna assume that my child's gonna do the right thing, because I'm the one that produced that kid. Now, I know what I've taught my children, but I also know what I'm capable of. And if I'm capable of that, so are they. So I don't make assumptions that, I don't want to stifle their creativity. No, I discipline them. Now, I don't beat and abuse my kids. I discipline them. There's a difference. I'm teaching them something. And there may be punishment that comes along with that discipline, and there may not be punishment. The goal is that they learn what they need to learn. God is the same way. The Bible even says that he chastises those whom he loves. And some versions use some pretty strong language there and say that if he wouldn't be a good father. But because he's your father, he's going to correct you. He's going to discipline you. And you are not fatherless. That's what the scripture says. Now, like I said, some versions say it harsher than that. I'm not going to use that word this morning. We have a good father who loves us and he disciplines us. And there's one discipline he's given us that I feel like the church has completely ignored, does not understand, because we misuse it, and it's called prayer. Prayer is a tool to teach us, to guide us, to help us. So what is a discipline? Let me just give you this definition of it. It says orderly or prescribed conduct or pattern of behavior. It's training that corrects, molds, or perfects the mental faculties or moral character. It can also be a field of study. That's what a discipline is. That's what that word means. It's to help us renew our mind. So when Romans tells us to do that, it's not just reading the Bible, but it's also praying and talking to God. That's how we renew our mind. And it's a discipline that we learn and grow in. But here's the problem. We don't teach people how to grow in it, because when we come here, we open up with a quick prayer and we end with a quick prayer. And so people think that's how you pray. That's not fair to you. That's not fair to you. The disciples wanted to learn how to pray after watching Jesus do it. And what did they ask? Lord, teach us to pray. Now, if they needed taught, don't we need taught? It's a discipline that we learn in. So this discipline is a resource or means or an avenue where we get to know God and he gets to know us. It is a relational thing, not a performance. I'm going to go back to my parenting illustration here, and I want you to get this. How many of you have ever seen a parent discipline their child in public because not that they were trying to teach them something, but they were putting on a performance in front of everybody else because they were embarrassed by their child's behavior and they were trying to get them to stop? They only cared about themselves at that moment, not their child. That's a performance. That's not prayer. It's not prayer. And unfortunately, that's what we see displayed most of the time. We see someone standing up. We see pastors. I've been guilty of this so many times, that they're trying to catch all the notes that they forgot, that they missed when they were preaching, and that was their prayer. Lord, forgive me for every time I've done that. It's what comes to our mind. And so we're praying, and the next thing I know, I'm preaching again. I'm like, wait a minute here. I thought I was talking to God. I'm not. I was talking to you. I wasn't talking to God. I was talking to you. God already knew the points I had in my message. That's a performance. That was for you and for me, not for him. God disciplines us because he cares about us. And he makes it relational. So therefore, prayer should be relational. Prayer is you talking to God. Let's just pause for a moment there. Do you hear what I said? The creator of the universe, the one that made everything, the Lord of all creation, the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, we get to talk to him. We get to talk to him. I mean, I can't call Washington, D.C. up and say, hey, I need to talk to the president. They ain't gonna give me time of day. They don't know me, but I get to talk to God. I can't call England up and say, hey, you know, I need to talk to the king. I got something to say to him. They ain't gonna put me through to him, but I get to talk to God. He's ruler of all of them. He's the one that set all these nations up. And he'll tear them down if he wants to. That's what the scripture says. I get to talk to God. Maybe that would help us in our prayer time instead of us looking at it as a chore. Instead of it being a chore for us to just do and check off the box because we did our prayer time today. No, you get to talk to God. And do you know that there were generations of people waiting for that moment that we have? That there was only one day of atonement every year, and only one man could go in and talk to God about it. Now we can daily come to God because of Jesus Christ. So here are some forms of prayer. I promise we're going to keep moving on here, and we're going to see God do some things this morning, but I have to lay a foundation for you first. So we're coming from the standpoint that it's a relationship, right? This is not a performance. This is not something we're just doing for us or someone else. No, this is us talking to God. And so there are some forms of the discipline that God gives us in Scripture. The first one we have pretty good. I don't know that we do it right, but we understand it. It's called asking or petitions or requests. That's what the Scripture refers to it. And most people, general knowledge of prayer, most people, that's what they think prayer is. I'm going to ask God to do something. So we're asking God. Now, while that is part of prayer, and it is important we do that, because he said you have not because you ask not. That's what the Scripture said, right? You don't have anything because you didn't ask for it. We're supposed to ask. The problem is that is the depth of our prayer life. It is. We just go to God and ask him for stuff. So let me ask you this question. How do you like it when your relationship is based on someone getting something from you and that's it? Feel used, don't you? Every time I see this person, they just want something from me. Want to borrow money off of me, want to borrow something to use something from me. They don't ever offer anything to me. How do you think that makes God feel? Every time you show up, talk to him, you're just asking him for something else. So while that's part of prayer, that's not the only form of prayer. There needs to be more than that. We need to talk to God. We need to converse with him. And so the second part is this, and this is where a lot of people struggle. It's the seeking part. It's devotional. It's you showing that, no, I'm devoted to you. And I like to liken this in relationships, especially husbands and wives, where sometimes you just need to sit and talk. I'm not asking you to do something for me. I'm not barking orders to you to do something for me. I'm not telling you of all the things that needs to be done. No, I'm sitting here and I'm having a conversation with you just to see how you are because I'm devoted to you. I'm devoted to you. I'm your friend. If you don't have a marriage relationship, you don't understand that, just think about your friends. You want to hang out with your friends because you have made a connection with that person. You're devoted to them. They're your friend and you care about them. How's things going? You're not asking something from them except for them to just tell you how life is. What's going on with you? Where you been lately? God wants us to talk to him like that. We say, well, he knows. Yeah, but he still wants to talk about it. We can know what things are going on in people's lives, but we still go up and talk to him about it, right? Because we want to have a relationship with them. So the seeking part, sometimes I think we overcomplicate it because we get out a thesaurus, a dictionary, a Bible dictionary, a concordance, a Strong's concordance. We have five commentary and we have our Bible and we're reading and that's us seeking. No, that's you studying. And half the time you got so much stuff on the table, you're confused. So there's no way you could be seeking because you're too busy trying to figure out what that meant when you just read it. That's why you have your thesaurus and dictionary. Maybe that's just me. I don't know what that word means. Hang on a minute here. Oh, that's what it means. Okay, I'll go back to my study. No. Seeking is just you being relational with God. How many of you have ever went into prayer and said, hey, God, what are you doing today? What do you want done today? No, most of the time we're going with our list and telling God everything we want done. I remember back in the day, you remember that skit you had us do? You know what I'm talking about? We showed up to Wednesday night church. It was youth service and Sister Betty was our youth leader. And we showed up and she gave us a skit that night. Did you hear what I said? That night. We didn't know anything about it until we got there. And me and my cousin Nick had to do that skit that night. So we ad-libbed most of it because we didn't know any of the lines because we just got it like 10 minutes before service started. But it was interesting because it was like two college kids are living in a dorm together, and they're playing video games, doing life, whatever. And the phone rings, and when they answer, it's God. And me and him just started bantering back and forth. Oh, it's God on the phone. And so Nick's like, oh, tell him I need this and tell him I need that. And so I start giving all the orders that Nick says. Then I put all my order in and then I hang up. And at the end of the skit, Nick looks at me and goes, hey, what'd he call for? And I went, I don't know. I didn't ask him. How many times do we ask God what he wants? See, that's the seeking part. God, what do you want from me? God, I feel this right now. I have this inclination in my heart, this feeling, this, or something just popped in my head out of the blue, and I think it's from you. Is this from you, God? That's God calling you. Hey, I want to talk, son. I want to talk, daughter. Okay, let's talk. What do you want from me? What do you need me to do right now? See, that's the seeking part. That's the relationship part, and it should be mutual. And I'm telling you, he will speak to you, but this is how he speaks to you. It's not like the great voice of God that we had for our Christmas play. It's not how it sounds. While Brother Jake's got a great voice, God doesn't sound like that. You know how God sounds? God sounds like your Bible. All of a sudden, you'll remember a verse of Scripture. It doesn't matter if it's a verse that everybody knows. And you just want to push it off like, well, you know, that popped in my head because, you know, I mean, everybody knows that verse. No. God's calling you. So if it's John 3:16, all of a sudden John 3:16 pops in your head. Oh, why am I thinking that right now? Ask the question. Now, it could very well be us, but we won't know unless we ask, right? We have to ask. So we need to ask. That's part of the seeking. All right, I need to move on. I get to teaching and I enjoy it, and so then we don't get to do what we need to do. The next part is knocking. This is found in Matthew 7, verse 7. Ask and you shall receive. Seek and you shall find. Knock and it shall be opened to you. Knocking is the intercession. Knocking is you praying for other people, calling out to God for them, and standing in the gap for them. It's intercession. We'll maybe go into that a little bit later. And then there's another kind that is not found in that verse that I like to talk about because I feel like it's been stolen from the church, and that's meditation. And if you look in the Old Testament, the Bible talks about meditating in prayer and in the word a lot. And that is our contemplative prayer. And this is what we need to really focus on, I think, because when we talk about 1 Thessalonians, when it says pray without ceasing and things like that, we don't understand that because we think prayer, we have to be talking, moving our mouth, all this. No, there's a thing called contemplative prayer where you're contemplating. Now, before I learned that big fancy word, I used to call it thinking praying. That's what I used to call it. I'm thinking praying. What's that mean? I'm just thinking. I'm talking to God, my thoughts, my mind. What's this mean, God? I'm just thinking about it, right? That's what it is. And so these are the different forms of prayer that we use to discipline ourselves to follow after the teachings of Jesus. That's what we're doing, right? So Jesus set the example for us in these disciplines. He taught us these things. We have the Lord's Prayer. I don't know why we call it the Lord's Prayer, because he presented it to his disciples. We should call it the disciples' prayer. Right? Teach us to pray. Okay, this is how you pray. And then we call it his prayer. I don't know if he prayed that way or not, but I know he taught the disciples to pray that way. We also have the Lord's intercession. If you want to know how to intercede for somebody, go to John chapter 17. First of all, it'll wreck you because you'll realize Jesus is praying for you. Pretty amazing verse. Only God could do that. Only God could have a moment of time in history, but also keep it perpetuating until eternity. It's an amazing prayer. Go read it. He intercedes for his disciples there, but then he says, and everyone that would ever follow after their teaching, that's you and me. He prays for us there. He's interceding. And then we have an amazing petition and devotional prayer found in Matthew chapter 26. It's found in other places in the Bible too. But it is Jesus in the Garden of Gethsemane praying. If you want to really understand how to ask God for things in prayer, go to that prayer. If you really want to understand how to seek God and have just a blunt conversation with God, go and read about Jesus in the Garden of Gethsemane. See, Jesus taught us how to pray these things. And I see people writing things down, and I'm glad. I want you to bring notebooks and write stuff down, because I'm believing God's going to speak to you in these days. So make little notes, and if you have to, write it on your hand. Do something so you can get what God's speaking to you. But God has taught us how to pray all throughout his word, and Jesus gives us perfect examples of how to do it. So I just want to tell you this. This is the end of my little lesson, and then we're going to do some activities together. But did you realize that the Bible is a prayer book? It's a prayer book. Now, I know that Christian authors sell them, and that's cool. There's all kinds of aids that help us, just like, you know, a commentary helps us study. A prayer book can help us pray. There's all kinds of little acronyms that people have that they follow after and all of that that help you pray. And whatever you need to use, just make sure you're talking to God. But the Bible itself is a prayer book. I mean, go to the book of Psalms and just start reading it. You'll read prayer after prayer after prayer after prayer after prayer. So one thing that'll help you is if you don't know how to pray, open your Bible, and instead of reading it to learn something, read it to talk to God. One of the greatest compliments I ever heard someone give my grandfather was, I think it was actually an undertaker. He said, I love listening to your grandpa pray. Now, if you've ever heard him pray, he's a praying man, I'm telling you. He knows how to pray. But he said, the reason I like to listen to him pray is because he prays the scriptures. It's that simple. Open up your Bible and pray what the Bible says. But make it personal. Make it yours, right? It's a prayer book. And so those are just some tools I hope you can help you throughout this week as we're focusing on prayer. Just wanted to do a little teaching first before we move into activating this in our lives. Now, some of you, I keep feeling like I need to warn you, because it's going to be different. Because you're used to, when we pray in church, somebody stands up here, we all stand, bow our heads, and that person prays. But that's not what we're going to do today. Because remember what I told you, that's not teaching you anything. So we're going to do some things together. Now, some of you are going to think this service is completely backwards. Pastor started out with the preaching and teaching, and then we went into everything else. Yeah, it's pretty much what we're doing today. Because we are going to actively do what God has told us to do. So, let me read this verse of scripture to you, because I felt like you needed to have it in your arsenal when it comes to prayer. It's found in James chapter 5. It's verses 13 through 16. I'm going to do my best not to expound on it all. I'm just going to read it to you. Is anyone among you suffering? Anybody suffering today? What does the Bible say to do? Let him pray. Is anyone cheerful? Let him sing praise. Maybe that's why we do that when we come together, huh? Is anyone among you sick? Let him call for the elders of the church and let them pray over him, anointing him with oil in the name of the Lord. And the prayer of faith will save the one who is sick, and the Lord will raise him up. And if he has committed sins, oh, that part makes us nervous, he will be forgiven. Therefore, confess your sins one to another and pray one for another that you may be healed. The prayer, or the effectual fervent prayer, as one, as the King James Version says it, of a righteous person has great power as it is working. Everybody say working. That means we have to do something to pray, right? It's working. So we're going to do this all together, and it's going to be powerful. And what we're going to do this morning is we're going to allow what we call the Lord's Prayer to be our outline as we do this together, just to kind of give us a guide as we come together. So what does the scripture say? It says, "Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name." Not Howard, hallowed. What does that fancy word mean? It means full of honor and respect and adoration. So, if that's how Jesus taught us to pray, then when we start to pray, what should we do? We should give God praise. So let's all just lift our hands right now. See, we're praying already. Hallelujah. Come on, just give him praise. Open up your mouth right now and give him praise. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you for your goodness and your kindness and your grace and your love. God, we give you honor. We glorify you. You are such a great and holy God. We thank you, Lord, for how powerful and gracious you are. We thank you, God, that we can come to you in prayer. We honor you and we respect you, and we are in awe of you this day, God. We are in awe of you this day, God. Hallelujah. 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 Sister Betty, can you lead us in that chorus I ask you to sing?
To thy precious bleeding side, nearer, blessed, to the cross where thou hast died. Me
that consecration part.
Now to thy service, Lord, the power, grace divine.
Yes, Lord.
Soul look up with a steadfast. And my will be lost in thine. Draw me nearer, blessed Lord, to
thou.
Hallelujah. Lift your hands one more time. Give him praise. He died on that cross for us. He shed his blood for us. Let us draw nearer to such a precious God who loves us. He said if we would draw nigh to him, he would draw nigh to us. We thank you, God, for pulling us close this day, loving on us. We love on you back. We love you, Jesus. We love you, Jesus. We love you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Now, this is what we're going to do. Because we're in a corporate setting all together, worshiping God together, entering prayer together. See, some of you never thought about it like this before, but now we're going to give our offering. Because you see, offering isn't about your money. Offering's about your worship and your praise. You want to be a cheerful giver? You do it. It's praise. Praising God because he has supplied all your needs. Praising God because he's taken care of you for a whole year. He got you to this point. I'm praising God. And so as Sister Betty begins to sing a song again, let's come and give our praise and our offering to God this morning. Our tithe, whatever you prepared to bring this morning, just come up and give it. But I want you to do it from here. See, I think it's something we totally misteach in church. It's here. It's from here. It's because I love God so much. I'm going to give something back to him. Sister Betty, come on, let's just worship God this morning.
Of faith, closer drawn to thee, draw me nearer, blessed Lord, to the cross where thou hast died. Me nearer, nearer, blessed Lord.
Hallelujah. See, this is how we start prayer. This is how we start the conversation. What do we tell people? When we see him, man, it's so good to see you. I've missed you. How you been? We greet people with a salutation to honor them. How much more should we start our conversation with our Heavenly Father? Our Father, which is in heaven, how honored are you? How great are you? How wonderful are you? And I've come today to take what you've given me and spend it. I'm going to spend it on you. I'm going to spend it with you. Come and to spend my time together in relationship with you. That's how you start prayer. It's what Jesus taught us. Then he goes on and begins to go into a devotional and a seeking. Notice that, not an asking. Doesn't tell us to do our asking. No, he says, your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. That's a seeking. God, I want what you want right now. I want to happen in my life what you desire to happen in my life, God. So help me know what that is. Teach me what that is. Show me what that is. So come on, let's just begin to ask him. This is the first day of a new year, the first day of a new week. God, we come to you right now, and we're asking that your will be done in our lives on earth as it always is in heaven. God, we're seeking you for what you want to do in our lives, God. That's why we've set aside this time, Father. We're wholly consecrating ourselves to you so that we can know what you want, not what we want. God, we don't come with our agenda. We come to hear from you today. God, I thank you that you're beginning to speak to hearts already. You're beginning to show people already. Father, I thank you for that. Come on, I should not be the only one praying right now. Lift your voice. Tell him to show you what he wants you to be doing in this new year and this week. God, I just pray right now you will reveal things to people of this coming week, things to prepare their hearts, things to prepare them, even practical things, things that's going to be taking place with their children, things that are going to be taking place in their job. God, I thank you that you're going to show them ahead of time, because we're seeking you right now. We're asking you what you want in our lives. We're submitting to you, God, right now. We come humbly before you right now. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Not our will, God, but your will. We want it. Not our will, God, but your will. We want it for this new year. Not our resolutions, God. Not our plans, but your plans. Your plans are perfect and holy for us. Help us to know them. Help us to see them. Father, I pray for this church right now that in this year, because we have decided to dedicate and consecrate our lives at the start of this year, God, I just pray and I'm asking you to show us every event that we're supposed to do, everything that we're supposed to be involved in, so that way we're doing your work and not our own work. That way everything will be successful, God, because it's what you want done, and therefore it will be successful. God, we're offering our lives to you right now so that you can show us what you want, God. Show us what you want, God. Help us to know and understand. Father, I also pray that as we enter this new year, you'll guide us away from the temptation that would try to draw us away from you. And you will deliver us from evil. For God, we're seeking your face. We want your will. We want your holiness to shine through our lives. So we're dedicating ourselves to you right now. Amen. Church, I encourage you right now, if you pray in different languages, begin to do that. Just let it flow out of your mouth right now. We're in prayer together. It's appropriate. Just let it go. Bromoros utebeshite na mama na la masaya. If you never received this gift right now, you can. It's available to you. Just reach out and receive it. All of a sudden, you might hear something funny come to your brain or feel something. Just let it out of your mouth right now. I just feel God wants to do that. He wants to bless us because we're seeking Him. So He wants to bless us with a gift right now. Thank you, presence of God, for falling right now. Thank you that you're beginning to show people your will. You're giving wisdom and understanding and knowledge. We thank you for that right now. Father, I thank you that people are growing in this gift that you've given them in their prayer time. I thank you, God, that you're releasing it right now, wisdom and understanding to grow. Lord, I thank you that different languages are going to begin to come to people this week as they meet you in prayer. I thank you that they're going to speak in different languages as they pray, the languages they've never spoken before because you're blessing them with that. And there are some, Lord, in here that I thank you that they're going to begin to pray in intercession in holy languages that you're giving them, heavenly languages that you're giving them, and even earthly languages you're giving them, that they're going to begin to intercede for people in their life that are on their heart. They're going to stand in the gap and pray for them. And it's going to be you praying through them, God. We're partnering with you right now because we're seeking you, God. We want what you want in our lives. Your will be done. Direct us in your path. Don't lead us to temptation, but deliver us from the evil that's trying to come our way. God, you see, you know ahead of us, God. You know ahead of us. You know what this year holds. Direct our paths, God, from the evilness that will try to devour us. Forgive us, God, of the times that we've lost our focus last year. Direct our hearts, Lord. Hallelujah. Thank you, God. Thank you, God, for meeting us here. I thank you for your presence that I feel here. Thank you for the lives that you're touching right now, Father. Hallelujah. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Thank you. Thank you, Father, for revelation, knowledge, and wisdom that's coming by your Holy Spirit to us. You're revealing us. You're revealing to us things, Lord. We thank you for that. Hallelujah. We praise you, God. We worship you, God. We love you, God. We want what you want, God. We want what you got, want, God. I thank you, Lord, that you're helping us in a very practical way right now understand how to connect to the Spirit by simply seeking what He wants, asking Him what He wants. You're helping us in a very practical way understanding how to connect to the Spirit, Lord.
I thank you, Lord, that I don't have to pray in unknown languages. I can pray in the language you've given me, my understanding, and still be connected to your spirit. God, I thank you that you're teaching us right now how to do that. You're releasing a grace, Lord, to mature and grow deeper in this discipline called prayer, because now we're seeking what you want, God, not what we want. We're consecrating ourselves right now to do this. Hallelujah. Father, I thank you that with confidence we can have towards you, if we ask anything according to your will, you hear us. Your word says this, and we're asking according to your will. We want your will done. Thank you, Lord, that you're doing that. Now, Father, we come to you with our petitions and requests. We ask you to give us this day our daily bread. We ask you for the provision that we need for today. Nothing more, nothing less, Father. I thank you that you're going to provide all of our needs according to your riches and glory through Christ Jesus. Now, Father, you see those here that are anxious about the new year. They're nervous. There's fear trying to come in. Lord, you told us that we don't have to be anxious, but we can come and pray and talk to you and let our supplications be known with thanksgiving, and you will answer them. So, Father, we're coming to you right now. You see the needs on people's hearts and lives. You see what's going on in their physical bodies. You see what's going on in their soul, their mind, their will, their emotions. Lord, you see what's going on in their spirit. God, right now, I ask you to provide our needs. We receive them with thanksgiving, and I thank you, Lord, that you're providing our needs for us. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Come on. Now just start talking to God. Tell him, thank you that he's going to provide your need. You need to call a need out, call it out now. Now's the time. We're petitioning God to move. And I thank you, Lord, that people are being healed right now. And by your stripes, we are made whole. I thank you, God, my voice is coming back with full power and strength, Lord. I thank you. I receive your healing in my body right now. Thank you, Lord Jesus. God, I thank you for meeting financial needs, God, giving wisdom and understanding in finances right now. I'm going to direct, Lord, areas. God, I thank you, Lord, that you're moving in that area right now. Hallelujah. We give you glory. We give you praise. I thank you, God, that you're healing emotional hurts, wounds, Lord. Things that have hurt us, Lord, we release them right now. Hurts, offenses, we give them to you right now, Father. Anything that has hurt us, Lord, we give it to you. Come on, church, keep praying. Talk to God. This is how you do it. Open your mouth and talk to him. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. We worship you, God. We praise you, God. Hallelujah. 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 God, you said that we could cast our cares upon you. You care for us. Now, God, we're releasing them to you right now. Those kids that we're concerned about, our children,
We're giving them to you right now. Those grandbabies, we're giving them to you right now. That issue at work, we give that issue to you right now at work. You're going to work it all out. You're going to give us the wisdom that we need. By faith, we declare it right now. You're going to show us how to handle that situation, Father. Hallelujah. We thank you, Jesus. That you're moving. You're moving in our lives because you care for us. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. That loved one, that friend that has been very ill, dealing with things, their life, we give them to you right now. A family member that's been captivated by sin, it's destroying their life. Lord, we give that family member to you right now. We thank you that you're going to intervene and move on their behalf right now, Father. Hallelujah. Yes, Father, we plead the blood over them right now. We thank you for the blood. We thank you that there's life in the blood. So we're speaking life into those situations right now. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Father, we ask you to forgive us. Forgive our debts as we forgive our debtors. So, Lord, I pray right now that if we have unforgiveness in our hearts, you will reveal it to us and help us to release that unforgiveness, not carry it anymore. So that we can forgive others as you forgive us. Now, God, I stand as the pastor of this church. I humble myself before you. I ask you to forgive us for the times that we just made it our thing, for the times we came in here and did what we wanted to do and not what you wanted us to do. Forgive us, God. Forgive us for being so wrapped up in carnal things, just activities, worldly things, Lord, that are fun and there's nothing wrong with them, but we've allowed them to become the center point of our life. Forgive us, God. Forgive us for losing our first love. We repent, we turn away from those sins, and we come back to you. God, forgive us for any wrongdoing we've committed against you. Forgive us, God. Help us realize where we're in error. Teach us, Lord, how to walk closer to you and to be holy. God, forgive us for not having a desire for the things of you and desiring things that make us comfortable. Forgive us, God. God, forgive us for tolerating evilness in our generation. Forgive us, God, for not crying out to you and praying like we're supposed to. Forgive us, God. Forgive us for turning a blind eye and not caring about people. Forgive us for being compassionless. Forgive us for not loving individuals like they need to be loved.
forgive us, God. Teach us to love like you love. Teach us to see people the way you see them. Forgive me of my selfishness. Forgive me of my pride. Forgive me for being uncaring. Make my heart like your heart, Father. Forgive us for being easily offended. Open our hearts to love those that are deemed unlovable. Help us not to be so easily offended. Help us to see the souls of people. God, forgive us. Father, you see those that persecute us. You see those that lie on us, that speak down towards us. You see those that like to use us and abuse us. Father, we pray for them right now. I pray that your hand of grace would be extended to them. God, I pray that your spirit would draw them unto you right now. They would come to know you personally. Help them to understand your love. God, I pray that you would heal their brokenness. For many times they attack us because they are hurt. So heal their hearts, their minds. Help their will to be broken for your will, God. Let them come to know you. God, we pray for them right now. Come before you, Lord, and we seek a pure heart and a clean conscience, and we can walk uprightly with you, Lord, so that we will resemble you. People can see Jesus in us, Father. Help us right now. Shmamo robo rebekeste demasi. Yene me huramana la masa kataramasi. Ye kuroso turamamasa tamamasi. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Now, church, let's come together and let's intercede. It means that we're not going to care about ourselves anymore. Our situations, our focus is not on us anymore. Our focus is on others. We've prayed for some others, but now we're going to intercede. And we're going to start with our country and our leaders. So come on, let's pray for the nation of the United States of America. Father, you see where we are at. And God, we stand in right now. We cry out for our country. You see the great need that we have. We need help. We need your wisdom. We need your direction. We need your guidance. We need love to flow in our country again. We need unity to flow in our country again. I bind and rebuke the enemy right now that has created a division, that's turned brother against brother and sister against sister. I break down this separation right now. And by the authority of the name of Jesus Christ, we speak unity in our nation, that we would come together and love each other, Lord, that we would be willing to help one another out once again. God, we pray for our leaders right now. God, we pray blessing upon their lives, that they would come to know you, to understand you, and to do your will, Lord. Help us, Lord Jesus, to be compassionate towards them. For Father, I do not know what it's like to stand in their positions. But God, you fully understand where they are. So God, I pray for a grace to fall upon them right now that would come from you to lead this country in the direction that it needs to go, to bring us back together again and make this country whole. Lord, we pray for our president, pray for his cabinet ministers, Lord. We pray for our senators and our representatives, Lord, and our nation. We pray for our governor, Lord, of this state. We pray for the legislators in this state, Lord. We pray, God, for our county workers, those that are commissioners over our county. God, we pray for those mayors and leaders that sit in our cities and rule our cities, God. We pray for them right now that they would have your mind, they would know you, Lord, and they would rule and reign with your authority and your wisdom and guide our country where it needs to go. We stand in the gap right now. We pray for our country, Lord Jesus. Help us to turn back to you. Forgive us of our sin. Heal our lands, God. Move, Lord, the people who lead this nation. God, we pray blessing upon this nation, that righteousness would rule and reign, and we would live in blessing once again. So God, I pray for the spiritual leaders in this nation. Forgive us as your church and as your leaders for turning to the wrong things, the wrong avenues and the wrong ways, trying to correct it in a fleshly way. Forgive us, God. We turn to you right now. And God, we know that we are your church, we are your people, and therefore we are your only hope for this nation. So God, we make ourselves right before you to lead people to you, God, and nowhere else. We pray for the other spiritual leaders across this nation that you would give us wisdom and knowledge to guide the people of this great nation where they need to go. I thank you, Lord, that you're giving us influence. The early church had favor with all people. And God, I thank you as we are repenting and turning away from our wickedness, that you're going to give us favor with people once again. Give us influence to see a godly direction come to our nation, Lord. We pray for all the spiritual leaders in the churches in this nation, but not only this nation, but around the world, God. We seek your face for your church to come together. God, unite your church, unite your people underneath your banner, the bloodstained banner of the cross in the name of Jesus Christ. Help us to come together. We pray for the persecuted church. God, you would supply their needs that you would be there for them, that you would strengthen them, that you would help them through their persecution, their time of great persecution, God. You would protect lives. The gospel message would continue to go forth. We pray for your church, but God, we also pray for the persecutors, those that are trying to come and stop your gospel message and come against your church. We pray, Lord, that you would reveal yourself to them, that they would come to know who Jesus Christ is. God, we intercede for these people right now. We stand together in faith and we're knocking. And God, we know that you have opened the door to us by your precious son, Jesus. So with thanksgiving and praise, we receive the work that you're doing in these people. Now, God, we pray for the lost souls that have yet to be found. I thank you that your Holy Spirit is roaming the earth looking for them. And you will find them and they will come to know you, Lord. And I thank you that you're developing labors, you're creating labors to go into your fields and reap this great harvest. I thank you, God, for strengthening our hands to do your work. God, we give you praise right now. We declare prodigals are coming home. Hallelujah. We thank you, Lord. We intercede for the prodigals right now, that they would come to themselves. Remember your goodness, Father. They would come home. We intercede for the health of this nation, Lord. We intercede for the people of this nation, Lord, right now. We intercede for our brothers and sisters overseas right now, God. Hallelujah. 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 We thank you, Lord Jesus. Hallelujah. 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 If anyone else feels like they need to come pray, dear forward, come forward and pray. I have a microphone here. Just come let me know. But at this point, I want to encourage you to move into private intercession. Some of you, there's probably names that you feel like you need to call out. Begin to pray for them. And then we're not going to dismiss this morning. This is what we're going to do. We're going to let people sit in contemplative prayer, just thinking, praying, having a discussion with God that you're starting now and you're going to continue for the rest of this week. And when you are ready to go home, you can go home. But I know that God has just deposited something in your life today. And my hope and my prayer is that it sparks something in your personal life to help you go and really pray, talk with God. You kids too. This isn't just for us adults. I want to encourage you to pray. I'm going to leave this microphone up here. And let's just finish this service out by spending time with God, thinking with Him.